Open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. My word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do desire to be in our place, dear Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, not necessarily, or I shouldn't say it that way, but not only just for when you come, but dear Lord, every day we want to be found faithful. Lord, when we think about the jobs, on the job, and today the way things are, dear Heavenly Father, people aren't faithful, dear Lord. Not on just only my occupation that I do, but across the board. And dear Heavenly Father, I've always mentioned that I believe that the enemy of the soul works in humanity and destroys the foundations of some things in America. And dear Heavenly Father, it will cross over to being a child of God. Dear Heavenly Father, people come in the shop late. They don't show up. They don't call. They leave. There's no diligence whatsoever. And dear Heavenly Father, we see people that they can get saved and they carry over the same attitude. Dear Heavenly Father, they're late for services. They're not here when it's need be. You don't know when they're going to be here, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, that's a game that the enemy plays. And this problem is our society has become to the place to accept it, dear Lord. And I'm not saying this just as something I hear, but things that I know, that I talk to other people all over, all kinds of workforces, dear Heavenly Father. It's the same way. So Lord, help us, dear Heavenly Father, as we mentioned many times, as the world is going down a certain pathway, dear Heavenly Father, it can affect us, dear Lord. But Lord, we need to shake ourselves and be diligent and being in our place every single day, dear Heavenly Father. Be diligent to spend time in the words. Be diligent to pray. Be diligent to just meditate on the things of God, being in the services, dear Lord. The Bible says to draw close to you, dear Heavenly Father. And we desire for you to draw close to us, dear Lord. But, dear Lord, we need to do something ourselves. So, Lord, we're so thankful for your word. We're thankful for your spirit, dear Heavenly Father. We're thankful for salvation. And, dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us, dear Lord, tonight as we look into the word one more time. Today, dear Heavenly Father, just anoint the service. Anoint me that I'll bring it as you would have us to. Anoint each one of our ears, dear Lord, that we may glean something from the word of God this evening. And we'll certainly thank you for that. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Matthew chapter 25, and a very familiar parable that Jesus is giving here. And we're going to pick up in verse 14. And he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And when he had received, the 5 talents, he went and traded with the same and made them 5 other talents. And likewise he had received 2, he also gained 2. And he that received 1 and digged it in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And the Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou a good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. When he had which received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reapest where thou hast not sown, and gather where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid the talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast is thine. And the Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which had 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. As I mentioned, very familiar parable of the talents here. And in verse 15, Jesus mentions that there is a man, and of course I always like to make reference to verse 14, he says the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is as something. And when we read that, we have to understand that Jesus is given a likeness of how we are to live for the Lord, of how the end of time will be, of what he expects from us. The kingdom of God, the service of God, it is familiar to something that he's putting in a parable to what we deal with every day. And he deals with this particular one in verse 15. Of course, there's three men as the man went away, and he gave different abilities, different talents. We're assuming that this is money, as what he said to the last man there. He gave him so much money. One he gave 5 talents, one he gave 2, and to another he gave 1. And he let them take care of those things while he was gone. And later in the scriptures, we see he came back and asked for an account of those different financial talents that he gave to him. You know, in our world today, and we're in no doubt the same way, I was thinking, as we think about maybe the majority of us aren't real familiar with how the stocks go and how interest goes and all that. We have some money and we take it to a bank and we give it to the bank and a savings account, or if we do some stocks and things, we give it to someone that we trust or someone that we know or whatever, and we give them some money, our money. And majority of us, I guess a lot of us, I know I am, when we give them that, we just expect them to take care of it. We expect them to invest it properly. They might get with us and say, you know, we're going to make diversify this and do it a little bit here, a little bit there. And sometimes we're safe, sometimes a little more risky, sometimes a little more involved. But we don't know a whole lot. And a year goes by, and we get statements from time to time and things. And I don't know how you are, but the majority of us, you know, I get statements of mine. You know, it's almost a book sometimes. And I open it up, I take the first page, and it's just an introductory page, and throw it away, and I'm only looking at one thing, basically. I'm only looking for one thing, and I'm looking for that last number down the bottom, whether it was an increase or not. And if there's a failure, if you give someone $1,000, let's say, and 6, 8 months or a year from now, you say, I want that money back, and they give you $950, you know, you're going to be upset. But if they gave you the 1,000 plus 50, you know, you're going to be okay. But if they gave you the 1,000 plus another 500, you're going to be happy about those things. You're going to be thankful for those things. You certainly don't want to lose money. Of course, with the market the way it is, that's a whole different world. I'm not getting into that tonight. But that's the way the scenario is with this man giving these men talent. He expected a gain. Well, let me tell you what. When Jesus gives each and every one of us, and we'll make comment about this later in the service, every single one of us have a soul. Jesus allowed us to be born. He created man in the garden there. The Bible says he created man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. That soul is accountable. That soul is going to be accountable back to God one day, and he is going to make us accountable. And I've said this not too long and just recently so many times, and I wish I had somebody or the ability or somebody, some people, that we can, when people can get saved, we can give them a pamphlet. You know, what we expect to, or what the Bible expects, what Jesus expects, what some things we expect to see you as a growth. 6 months, a year, 2 years, so much ago, and sort of a guideline of where some people should be in that period of time. Jesus Christ expects a soul, when they get saved, they expect to see a growth. They expect to see an increase in that individual. You don't just get saved today just as a babe in the world. As a baby is born and it doesn't grow in 6 months and it's still laying there as a baby, there is something dramatically wrong there. But as a babe in Christ, they get saved and they move on to some things. They grow. They understand some of the word. The Bible talks about desiring the sincere milk of the word. And then later on, I think we'll get into that too. Later on, it talks about eating meat. You're not talking about the physical thing, but he's talking about the spiritual things. So as we look at these men, these three men, and one he gave five talents to, one he gave two talents to, and one he gave one. And in each one, God gave, and when we look at this end here, for the two men that have five talents and two talents, he gave the same reward. He gave the same reward. You know, I know the Word of God teaches us, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust doesn't corrupt. God teaches us that. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And he tells us later on, and I looked it up, and I knew I should have written it down, but I didn't. But he talks about having great rewards and things, and I think it's in, I think I know I looked it up. Let me look, see if I can before I mess it up, quoting it in Matthew 5. And he starts to give the Beatitudes here in verse 11. He says, blessed are they. He goes down through the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And he gets down to verse 11. And Jesus says, blessed are they when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. We're going to be persecuted in this world. We're going to be, you know, shunned, so to speak. But he goes on to verse 12. He says, blessed are you to do these things, but rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I brought to you messages about heaven before. I'm not looking for a certain amount of rewards. I want to hear what he said that he's meant. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want. That's the reward. That's the desire of my reward that I want to hear. Well done. But in order to do that, we have to be doing well. We have to be faithful. We have to be diligent at the things. In verse 27, he says there, thou oughtest to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming, I should have received mine with usury. God knows our abilities. Now, I don't believe at all we're dealing with money today, as far as that way God says do with money. And you know, I say that, and as I said that, I realized, you know, there are some people... I say this out of kindness, you know. But my boss is a Jew, and one of the things that they look at is money. Money. They're on a stepladder, so to speak, and higher and things, and is the financial. And even the disciples said one time in the Bible when Jesus says when the rich man came to him and Jesus says, verily shall a rich man enter into heaven, the disciples asked the question, who's going to be saved? I don't understand why they ever asked that, because the disciples weren't wealthy. They were fishermen. They were just everyday workers. They weren't wealthy. They said that who can be saved, because they associated riches with salvation. But Christ doesn't deal with it that way in our world, but he desires for us to grow spiritually. And that's the thoughts that I want to bring to us tonight. Are we growing spiritually? Are we growing in the things of Christ? Our desire as saints, and by the grace of God, our desire as saints, one of our greatest desires, we want to see a soul saved. Our desire should be, and what a blessing it is, that one soul, if one soul makes heaven because of me, because of my influence, because of something I did, because of something I prayed, and somehow the Lord was able to deal with them, and they get saved. And I've often thought of that very same fact for ourselves. If we were to have some type of an influence on people, and this one gets saved, that one gets saved, this one gets saved, and we lose out, terrible would that be? We're standing at the judgment, and there's one that you remember dealing with, and they hear, well done. Here's another one you remember talking to and praying with, and they hear, well done. And we stand before the judgment bar of God, and he says, as he said to the one talent man, depart from me, thou wicked and slothful servant. How terrible. Are we having a spiritual growth? I believe there will be some in heaven because of each one of us being faithful. We may not know it today. We may not really realize it. I think Bert and I were talking last night a little bit, and I don't know how we got around to the subject, but we're talking about, I've heard this said before, and he was mentioning, somebody said it, I don't remember who he said it, and I've heard it said, he says, when we make heaven, by the grace of God, when we make heaven, will we be surprised at who's there? And will we be surprised at who isn't there? We can be surprised, maybe, and I realize once the Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant, we enter here, I believe all those things would be erased from our mind. We won't know those things at all. But I believe, by the grace of God, there may be someone in heaven because of our influence somehow, and we may never, ever know about it some way, but God can deal with their hearts because of us. And that's our desire. God gave talents to us. And as I said earlier in my thoughts, He gave each one of us a soul. What are you going to do with that soul? What are you going to do with that soul? What are you going to accomplish with that soul as far as living for God? And I believe if we yield it back to Christ and He blesses it and He uses it, we can see others be blessed by our living for the Lord. What are we going to do with all the things that God gives to us? Our talents. I know that our talents, all of us had different talents. You know, I think about whether we're old or we're young. I was thinking about this the afternoon. I wrote down this little footnote here. How many times have people said, you're too young? You're too young to take part in things. You're too young to be an influence. Or you're too old. You're not able to do some things at all. Bible verse says, I've been young, I've been old, and I've yet to see God forsake. I hope I get my numbers right. I looked it up a little bit there. But David was, when he went and fought Goliath and was anointed to be king, he was 15. Solomon, when he was anointed to be king, he was 13. Now, I can't even imagine children, their children in our day to day, at that age. Now, of course, David didn't become king for another 15 years later, but Solomon was a very young man and he became king of Israel. God blessed him. As the Lord help us never to look at the thought, well, that person's too young, that person's too old. I've always thought about with Brother Jones. I understand that Brother Jones, I think he was like 23 when he became pastor. I scratch my head when I think about that. Lord, you had to help him with that. But young, regardless of how old we are, how old or how young we are, God can still work and use us in whatever fashion we are. Help us, Lord, to pray for one another. To give words of encouragement. And as I said, my thought is our spiritual growth. Can you see a time in your own life from the time you got saved? Can you see a growth? Can you see an increase? Can you see where you've matured a little bit? Where you've come to a place to where you were just drinking the sincere milk of the word, just enjoying some things, to where now you've found yourself going deeper and wanting the stronger meat that the word of God has? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, we're going to read these first four verses and look at each one for a moment. He says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. You know, Jesus said, or back in the Bible, in the New Testament says, be ready to reprove, be ready to rebuke, be ready to chasten. Are we as an individual willing and able to receive rebuke? He says here, and he's dealing with young people, a wise son heareth his father's instruction. How many of us, maybe as young men, young women, did not like dad's instructions? Did not like it when dad sort of got on, gave us some instruction, told us to do things. There was always that spirit of things. Now that's in the human aspect. But the same thing with the Spirit of God. A wise son heareth, and we can use, if you allow me to use God's word, heareth God's instruction to him. Sometimes instruction from the Lord, from the Spirit, can be difficult. It can be harsh. Can you remember when God has ever spoken to you and sort of in a correction way, has come to you in a correction way, and it's not easy to receive that correction, but to accept it and grow in the things. You know, I've always said this on the job many a times. I've learned this on the job. I've learned this a lot on the job. What, you know, I think Brother Danny's mentioned it sometimes too. You know, when you start to learn something on the job, of course, being a mechanic, building transmissions, people that may build things or whatever, it could be anything, even I guess it can be accountant, whatever. But when you do a job, you know when you really learn something is when you make a mistake. When I first started building transmission work at Jim Jennings Transmissions, and there was several builders, and as a young builder, if there was one of my transmissions that didn't work, they had a senior builder. He went down and he took care of it. He fixed it. He worked at it. He was kind of a little bit proudful, and he wouldn't help you or teach you. He wouldn't tell you. He might reprimand you, you did this wrong or that wrong, but I had no idea how he came to figure that out. When I left there and went to Bill and Earl's, and the very first transmission that didn't work, I didn't have a clue how to fix it. I've been building transmissions for 3 years probably by then, but I didn't have a clue how to fix it. Why? Because I didn't learn how to deal with the process of fixing it. And after a while, I had to learn. When something didn't work, I had to figure out what's supposed to be on, what's not supposed to be on, and go through the process and learn. It's a humbling experience. But you know where some people do? And I've seen seasoned mechanics, seasoned builders that I've worked with, very good builders. They will find the problem. They'll take their transmission apart. They'll find the problem. They'll put it back together, and they will not tell anyone. Why? Because they made a mistake, and it's too proud. Well, you know, the same thing with living for God. Time and time, we do something we weren't supposed to. We speak out of turn. We make a mistake. We go some whatever, something there. And when the Spirit of God corrects us, help us, Lord, to apologize, go on, Lord, I'm sorry, and move on from there and grow from that experience. And as he says here in verse 4, or verse 1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction. Verse 2, a man shall eat good of the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. Verse 3, and he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. Anybody testify for that? Anybody testify they've had to learn to keep your mouth shut sometimes? But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Verse 4 is my main thought in these verses here. The soul of the sluggard desire and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The soul of the sluggard desire and have nothing. We are living in a time of lazy people. We are. We are living in a time of lazy people. We're living in a time, as I just even mentioned a little bit ago, we're living in a time that people don't want to do one little ounce more than what's required on the job. And sometimes they're not even performing that. They are lazy. They don't want to work. They don't want to apply themselves. They don't want to help mankind. They don't want to do these things. And a soul that is sluggard, desireth, and hath nothing. I know several young people right now. I don't know how old all of them are, but several of them are well in their, probably close, either in their 40s or in their late 30s or maybe close to 40s, are still living at home under mom and dad's place and have almost no job. They might work a little bit, but no professional job. Little things here, there, and I look at it when I think about things, and I see, you know what? And 10, 15 years, what kind of society are we going to have when mom and dad pass away and they have nothing else to go on? Been living, they're 40, 45 years old. They have no social security. They have nothing to bank on of those things. We have a lazy generation where it comes over to the same thing as the Spirit of God. He says the soul of the sluggard desire. The same way with spiritual people. Do we have a growth? Do we have a desire to grow? Do we have a desire to grow spiritually is my main thought here. And the soul of the diligent, they shall be made fat. You know, If we ever have a desire to be fat, help us to be fat in the Lord. Help us to be spiritually fat, that we can be a blessing to someone else. Are we consistent? You know, being spirit, having a spiritual growth, are we consistent? You know, sometimes on the job, that's just what you look for, consistency. They're there every day. They put their job in. They're there from the time they start, time of, you know, 5 days a week. They're there. They're consistent. They're faithful. There was a time that all of you know, and I know also, there was a time that wasn't even an issue. That wasn't even an issue. Everybody was there. They would come to there, punched in, worked their hours. They worked 40 hours, 45, whatever hours, and went home. That was the way things are. That's not the way things are today. But even in the things of God, the spiritual things of God, people may live that way in the natural things of the world, but they cannot bring that over into the spiritual. And I don't believe anybody that's living that way, I don't believe any saint is going to be doing that also in the workforce. I just don't believe it should be. I don't believe a saint would do that. They're going to be consistent in their spiritual life. They'll be consistent in their natural also. Diligent. He says here in verse 4, the soul of the diligent. The word diligent, earnest, steady, attentive, busy. Opposite of lazy. Opposite of being a sluggard. Opposite of someone that's just as the one man that only had the one talent. He took the one talent and he hid it. And when the Lord came back, he goes, here it is. Here's the one you gave to me. Well, just like I said, you give someone $1,000 to invest in him and they come back and here's your $950, you're going to be upset. And more than likely, you're not going to allow that man to handle your money anymore. Well, the Lord was upset. He says, you should have at least taken mine, what I had given to you, and give it to some people, let them invest it a little bit, and got a little bit of gain when I came back. There may be some people in the natural things of being saved. They don't have the ability to do a lot of things. But I believe through spiritual things, they'll have a growth. God will be pleased. You say, well, they may not be able to play the piano, they sing the choir, preach, teach, whatever. They may come to church and not be in any part of anything, not even take an offering, whatever. They may just be, as I use the word a little bit, consistent. They're there. They're there week in, week out, year in, year out. They're there. Help us, Lord, to be fat in the things, the spiritual things of God. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, Paul, we made mention many a times of Paul. Paul gave up a great deal to be a child of God. And in verse 8 he says, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. There are people in the world, they're doing their very best to climb through the success of the world. Climb up the ladder of the success of the world. And they would think Paul was a fool. And they would think we're a fool. And not, many of us, no doubt, there's some of us that have given up things of the world. Popularity or something, or famous, or finances, or whatever. We've given up some of those things in the world because we accepted Jesus Christ. I count all things but loss for the excellency to have the knowledge, to have the relationship, to have the understanding of Jesus Christ. How many people are desiring to do that? How happy are we in the things of God? How happy are you? Can you say that? Can you say you're pleased, you're content, you're happy? Because we have a world out there that's doing its best to go against us with the things, and they don't understand why you can be happy, why you can be blessed, why you can be just enjoying the things of God and don't have anything. You don't really have. What are you doing in life? What are you trying to accomplish in life? I want to make heaven my home. Jesus said one time, and I use this verse of scripture many times because it applies to many of us here. Jesus says one time, unless you're willing to forsake your mother and your father, your brother, your sister, everything, all your family, and even your own life also, you cannot be my disciple. Unless you're willing to sit your entire life, and that's a part of being sanctified, getting saved and sanctified. Here's my life, Lord, in a basket, so to speak, and I put it second place to you. Lord, whatever you call me to do, whatever you require of me to do, whatever you ask of me to do, Lord, I put my family second place. You've heard all kinds of different thoughts and examples of them things. Are we happy in the things of God? We can say, yes, I'm happy, I'm content, I'm satisfied, those things, but there's always room to grow. I believe there's always... I had a man that I worked with many, many years ago. He's done retired now. I'm not even sure he's still alive today. But he was coming of retirement age. And he had maybe 3 or 4 years left. And I can't remember exactly what it was. But things were... At that time, things were changing a little bit as far as the automobile. Their starting front-wheel drives were coming out and things like that. And they told him, they said, you know, and he said, why, I can't do those particular jobs because I don't have the particular tools to do them because they're new. He's been a mechanic for his whole life. But things were new coming out, and they said, well, you're going to have to start buying them because I don't care about buying nothing. I'm not buying nothing new. I'm going to retire in a few years. I'm done. Well, there's no retirement in the things of God. There's never a time that we come to a place to where we retire, where we get to a place even not able to even physically be able to do things. There's always a place, Lord, and I believe we can always grow and grow closer to the things of God, regardless of where we're at. But we have to desire that. We have to want that. I remember Brother Bush made a comment one time many years ago, and I believe we were talking about the thought of fasting and praying and you know, those things and all. He goes, that's difficult to do when you're working. Of course, I think he worked at the point, I believe. You know, you go down there and you work a physical labor job and the heat and the sweat and all those things and you fast through a meal or two. He says, it's difficult. It's difficult to do those things. But you endeavor to do those things to be pleasing or to get whatever desires you're needing and all. But there comes a time, maybe you're not working, maybe you're not putting yourself out like you are on a 5 or a 5 day a week job. But we can still grow in our prayers. God can give us spiritual vision. I said, Lord, help us with that. Yeah. Many times do we pray, Lord, many times where we're by ourselves, Lord, give me a spiritual vision, a deeper spiritual walk, regardless of whether it be small or large. We can look at things that that can make it better. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things... So what's he talking about? You have to go back up a few verses. We're not going to read all these things. But you can go on back up into 10 and come on down through there in verse 13. We'll just read verse 13 and tie back 14 into it. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Verse 14, wherefore, brethren, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Thank you. Help us, Lord. Do we ever, and I'm trusting that you do you ever from time to time, get by yourself and pray, Lord, I want to make sure things are well with me. Yeah, the enemy's good at deceiving us. Oh, you're doing okay. You're doing good. You're in church, you pray, you read, you're doing good. But the devil's always working somewhere, always working on some type of a negative something in our lives. And he says there, if you know some of these things, wherefore, beloved, you see in some of these things, by the grace of God, I want to see the new heaven. I want to see what God has for me. I want to hear the words, well done, thou faithful, good and faithful. I want to see the glories that heaven had. Well, he says there in verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing these things that you have an understanding and looking for such things, be diligent. Be diligent. And one of the things as a pastor, as someone that preaches the word of God, and it's someone that concerns me greatly, is people aren't diligent. People are half-hearted today. Just living for the Lord a little bit. Just in a sense, and not this is just an example of a spiritual application example. You know, there's different songs out there talking about, and there's one man wrote a song and sang a song, and he talked about going to church on Sunday. He says, you know, I threw an extra five in the plate. You know, that's what people's attitude is. The same thing, we're living for God. The other day, I'm trying to think of what it was. It was two things that happened. I'm trying to think of what the second one was. But anyway, I think I told you about the one where my boss, being a Jew, he said he was watching a show, and I think Jeopardy was what he was watching, and one of the questions was, in the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus says, our Father, which art in heaven, and the next word he was looking for was the answer, hallowed was the word he was looking for, and that was the blank answer, whatever it was. And none of the contestants knew that answer was hallowed. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. None of them knew that answer. Well, as he asked me and he asked another man there, and I knew where it was, and I looked at him, I said, you don't know, do you? And he was very sheepish. He said, I don't have any idea. I have someone else, I can't remember what we were talking about the other day, but their daughter goes to a Christian school. I can't remember for the life of me what it was, but she would mention something. I said, what does that mean? She had no clue. But you know what? People can just do something small and associate that with salvation. He says here, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such a things, be diligent, earnest, steadfast, attentive, busy, working on it. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, picking up in verse 12. For the time ye ought to have been teachers, ye have need one to teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need milk and not strong meat. I mentioned that a couple times during the service. I've mentioned to you many times in my own personal things. I love milk. I love a cold glass of milk. But when I walk around through Sam's every once in a while, I walk back in that meat counter, and anybody know what a tomahawk steak is? Anybody know what a tomahawk steak is? Only one hand went up. Nobody knows what a tomahawk steak is? I know Linda does. Nobody? Tomahawk steak is a part of that back part of the back they take out of it, and the steak is about that thick, at least, and it has the rib bone, and it's just sort of a thing and it looks like a tomahawk, and some rib bones are about that long. They're very popular. I don't know how they got so popular recently, but they're very popular. I think one of them, I don't know how much, it could be $60 for one, and I mean it's a hunk of meat like that. You know, I love a cold glass. Every once in a while, I walk through that meat counter. And I said, boy, I like some of that there too. And he says, for a time comes that people ought to have been teachers. They've been saved for 4, 5, 6 years. Now is the time they should be teachers. They should be working in the kingdom. And you have need, but now you still have need the one to teach you. And they've become one that need milk still. They're just still drinking milk. They don't have spiritual teeth. or a spiritual ability to eat this meat, the strong things that the Word has for us. Verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Are you still unskilled in the things? But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He uses a word there, the latter part of verse 14. He's even those by reason of use have their senses exercised. Do you dig into the word from time to time? Do you study it? Brother Frank was always one. He used to talk about it a lot of times. He'd get one word. And sometimes he even give testimony. He get one word, just one word, and dig into it. Look at the definition. Look at every verse in the Bible or a lot of verses in the Bible. He just dig into it. How many times do we dig into the word, or do we just get it out and read? I read 6 verses of scripture today. That's good. A lot of people, and I'm not against that daily bread back here. And I'm not against that at all. But that's all some people get throughout a day. They don't even dig into it. Going over into chapter 6, we read down to verse 14, chapter 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead works and of the faith towards God. Are we moving forward? Or are we staying back where we were? The last verse of Scripture, let's go to 2 Peter 3. You're talking all night this evening, growing spiritually. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. You know, Peter makes a comment here in the very last part of his letter here. He's, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. Do we have a longing for the things of God? Do we get happy? I'm okay. I'm comfortable where I am. Or do we have a desire to go deeper? And as I've mentioned many times, there's not one living soul upon the face of this earth that has reached the pinnacle of their salvation, that they can go higher. They can grow deeper. They can go deeper into the things of God. Brother Greg and I talked about it one time, and those of you that remembered Brother Barber, I wasn't here when Brother Barber was here, but Brother Barber and Brother Alvin, Craig was somewhat the same cut of an individual. They studied and they studied and they studied. They were kind of study fanatic. And Brother Alvin knew a lot of the Bible. I understand Barber knew that. They studied. They would be here for hours and hours and hours. Not only just studying the Word, but studying books and studying, just digging into those things. And I'm not saying that we all need to be that way, but we should have a desire for the knowledge of God. We should have a desire for the good things that He has for us. Open up the Scriptures. Every one of us in here has probably no doubt said, we've read the verses 100 times, but today, God showed me something special in that particular verse or word or just a line. Do we have a desire to grow spiritually, or are you comfortable where you're at? May the Lord bless you as we have a song.
Let's open the page to 165. 165.
To Him give my gift. slain, let Jesus reign within my heart away. I fail to find a sacrifice or fitting gift to bring, as treasure had to little breath to offer to my King. My gift is swallowed in him by all, except the Lord I bring. There's still be slain as Jesus reign within my heart away. Oh, give however grand a grace will pay the debt I owe. I bring myself, my life, my all, the living gift restore. My gift is swollen in him by all, except the Lord I pray. Let self be slain, let Jesus reign within my heart always. My members all I gladly yield for service, Lord, to thee, to bear the blessed gospel light the heavens Christ may see. My gift is small, it is my all, except the Lord I pray. Yes, every slain, let Jesus reign within